Most of you notice this is February, not March, right?
Yes.
And of course, the calendar specifies on, well, most calendars we have, Purim is in March. So why are we doing this in February? Simple. It says 12th month. Jewish month, of course, has 12 months out of it, or year, sorry, 12 months out of it. It also has a 13th month occasionally. Every 3 years or so, it produces an additional month. The Bible does not specify 13th month, it says 12th month. So we do this on the 12th month. That's why most of your Jewish calendars will have two Purims written down. One for the 12th month, one for the 13th month. But traditionally, well, biblically, you would do the 12th month. Traditionally, you do the last month. So it varies. Our particular group, although board happened to have decided we were going to do it on the 12th month because the Bible says on the 12th month, not the 13th. Simple as that. Nothing more profound. It has been pointed out that if you count the years back, you note that the year this occurred back during Esther's time happened to have been a leap year, and there were 13 months that year, in which case the 12th month actually means 12, not 13. But that's debatable because it's a long time ago. You never know what year it actually was. I'll do more details after our little play. We have obviously various characters. Most of them are being dressed up. We have, most of are, I'm sure, are familiar with the core of the Book of Esther and all the details. But you have, of course, the king, Ahasuerus. You have, naturally, Esther, which the book is named after, Esther. You have Mordecai, her uncle, and which we'll all... Oh, by the way, there's other details. Oh, forgot. Where are the little rattles? Here they are. Everybody's got a rattle. All right. Rules. There are rules to this game. Anytime you hear the name written, by the way, Tam will be reading all of this. So anytime she reads Mordecai, you make lots of noise, a cheer. Yay! When you hear the name Haman, boo.
Can you
rattle boo also? Okay, boo. Oh, Mordecai, I apologize. I thought there was a rattle for Mordecai as well. All right, never mind. So the Mordecai just cheer. All right, Haman make noise, say boo. Esther. Oh. Male and female. Come on, guys, you can do this too. Oh, yeah, that's better. Okay.
And one thing to keep in mind, we are going to have people that tell you when to boo. Oh, you boo.
Boo.
They come to find out again. You stop bullying. Yes, and you move on. They have to do the cheering. Someone's going to be holding a sign.
Cheer. Yay.
When someone's going to cheer, you cheer. When she puts a sign down, you stop.
Don't stop cheering.
So we move on with the narration so we can hear the whole story. Okay?
Yeah. Ahasuerus doesn't have any nice, wonderful little noises, so...
You can make up one for
you. Yeah, that's all right. Not important enough. We'll discuss as to why we as a group are celebrating this particular holiday later. By the way, we're actually having... Obviously, today is not the 14th or the 15th of the month of Adar. This is like the 16th, I think it is. So it's only a few days later, but it happens to the nearest weekend. We are people, a creature of habit, so we push things to weekends. We'll discuss that later. Purim, of course, as we are familiar with the story of Esther and what it means, and as far as what we read through and played earlier today, Purim has influence and has significance to Christian behavior and what we do as believers in the Messiah, because it affects us. Not just the Jewish people. We usually write it off as just a minor Jewish holiday. Who cares? Well, actually, it's written for us, meaning people who believe in Messiah, not written for the Jewish people. Their influence in Purim, though they observe it every year, is for our benefit to pay attention. Oh, it's supposed to be something that we pay attention to. It doesn't affect them yet. It'll affect them later on. But first of all, it's our job. All of you know Esther, right? Her real name is Hadassah.
Oh,
oh yes. Her real name was Hadassah. Now, Tammy pointed out Esther in Greek, of course, means, you know, the eastern star. What does Hebrew mean for the word of Esther?
Myrtle.
That's what Hadassah means. What does Hebrew word of Esther, Esther mean in Hebrew? Hidden secret, something that's quiet, kept away. Do not disclose, do not understand, do not make anybody else understand. It is a secret that is quiet and personal, internal. There is political and there's also personal implications as to the story of Purim. But political is more interesting because that affects Christianity as a whole. Political perspective. Who is Haman? Story of Esther, of course, a bunch of characters, right? Mm-hmm. Well, who do they represent?
Satan.
Haman, of course, we all think he's evil. He's the adversary. Satan, he's nothing more than one who is against. Against anything. I can have a personal Satan. I can have lots of Satans. Being against whatever I am desiring to do. God has one, which we call him as the Satan, or the Satan, the adversary. Haman represents that character whose sole goal in life is to destroy the Jewish people. That is his function. Whatever means possible, he can either destroy them physically, spiritually, whatever it takes, his job is to get rid of them. Because once he does, what will he have accomplished? It makes God's word untrue. Converting God into a liar. Once he's done that, Satan not only secured his own, or will secure his own status as being the one who is truthful, because he points out, God, whatever you want is not going to happen. It makes Satan God. That's Satan's job, to desire to destroy God's plans. So Haman represents that. We'll go through this real quickly. This won't take too long. Ahasuerus, of course, a Greek name, doesn't mean anything to anybody else, just some guy's name. Who cares? Well, he actually, his acronym. You've all heard of Maccabee, right? Do you recall what Maccabee is? Is that a person's name?
Acronym.
Of course it's not a person's name. It's Michal Mocha Bali Madonna. It's the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what Maccabee is. So Judah Maccabee, I forgot all of his siblings, they're all called Maccabees, but that's not really not their last name. It's an acronym for their last name. All right? Well, Ahasuerus, in Hebrew, that's his acronym. That's not his real name. The son of Cyrus was not Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus. Acronym in Hebrew means the one whose end and beginning belong to him. That's what the word means. Just like Maccabee means, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is like the Lord. Ahasuerus means, to him belong the beginning and the end. It's an acronym for who?
The Almighty God.
God. That's who Ahasuerus, this character, represents. It represents, in particular, the Messiah. In the story of Esther. In particular, it's the Messiah, because, of course, he has kingship. He dictates, this person gets blessed, that person gets blessed, this person gets cursed. That's Messiah's job. That's what Messiah does. Who's Mordecai? Mordecai was a Benjamite. What's he called? The Jew. Not the Benjamite. Mordecai represents exactly what the story tells is. He is the Jewish people. So we have Esther, who is the secret, the one who is quiet. The one who does not disclose her identity, has no affiliation to anything. We have Ahasuerus, who of course is the Messiah, her husband. And we have Mordecai, who is Esther's past, the Jewish people, the true identity of who she is and what she represents and what she stands on, who brought her up to where she stands today. So you have these main characters. Of course, you also have Vashti, you also have some of the minor characters. You have Haman's wife and a few of the eunuchs and whatever else. We're discussing this at the moment. So the story of Esther, what does it have to do with Christianity? Or its belief in the Messiah, Christianity is a general term. Yes, Tammy.
Well, if Esther had not been successful, there would have been no Messiah.
Precisely. Messiah would be dead, Jews would be dead. He never would have existed. All right? There wouldn't be a Messiah. We wouldn't know who he was. You probably wouldn't even be alive today. Because there's no such thing as Christianity, no such thing as saving anything, nothing to say. God's plan would have fallen flat, and Satan would have won. That's the purpose. That's Haman's goal, or Satan's goal. So, you have Haman the adversary, or Satan. You have the Messiah, which is King of Kings, or the one whose end and beginning belongs to him. And note, he's actually called in the story a King of Kings, not in that form. He's called the King of multiple nobles of different provinces.
Yeah.
That's a king. He's a king of many kings. We know that statement. King of Kings. That is the Messiah. That's the whole That's one of the primary titles we call him in the New Testament, King of Kings. It tells you, it's identifying, who is this person supposed to represent? Supposed to represent the Messiah. Who does Vashti represent? This is the key. Vashti, his first wife, who said, come, disclose yourself, show how wonderful you actually are, my jewel, my prize. The Israel, the first time, before Messiah shows up. Exactly. That God's goal, originally, when he established through Moses and through Joshua and through all the judges, of Israel being that jewel, when he talked the promises he gave to Abraham, it wasn't worded in form of, oh, well, yes, this will occur in 6,000 years from now. No, the wording given to Abraham was your children, your sons and daughters, their grandchildren. They will be kings. Yes, he doesn't have to agree with me. He's my son. He has his own opinions, which I'm sure will be called well-voiced as the years go by. So, Messiah calls the Jewish people to display, you are my glory, show yourself. And what do they say? No.
That's correct.
Slap in the face. No, we don't want you, we don't like you, we reject you. What you have, your authority means nothing to us. So what does he do? Fine. I'll get somebody else. He starts out, of course, virgins are all selected, and Esther, of course, rises to the top. Why would Mordecai want her to change her name? What does it symbolize? From Myrtle, which means to pray, one who is continuously in conversation with God, converting that name to Esther, hide yourself. See, Esther had a past that she is hiding. All Christianity has the same past that we hide. We hide the fact that we are in fact descendants or followers of the Jewish God.
Those ancient ones are rejected.
How many Christians survive quite well in the Muslim world? Actually, a large percentage do. How do they do so? They shut up or they profess to hate the Jews. Either way works. Hiding your past. How many Christians throughout the U.S. history have professed exorbitant amount of anti-Semitism? Well, holy cow, we practically defined our country off of it.
Yeah.
Hiding and not disclosing your past, not disclosing your foundation, who you actually are. So at some point, as Esther had to eventually disclose her past, and Mordecai, who represents the Jews, had to eventually say, Esther, you are our salvation. I mean, you are the only source we have to save our skins. It's you, Christianity, or it's you, Esther.
To expose.
Expose yourself and save us all. Because if we die, guess what Mordecai told her? Remember what he said? You will die as well. There won't be a survival of Christianity if Judaism dies. Christianity won't exist. Messiah won't exist because the promise of God will not be fulfilled. Thus, God becomes a liar. That cannot happen. All right. So we have rules that we have to obey. Mordecai, Jewish people, tell Esther, hey, disclose yourself to the Messiah. Identify yourself not only to him, but to Satan as well. Haman, he had to say to Haman, hey, I am part of them as well. I am one at one with them. Identifying and arguing and advocating on their behalf. That is what we have to do. That is our job in our future. We still have to advocate and persuade. Thank you. Persuade our God to save not only us, but to save all of his people as well. Those who have rejected him over the years. It makes no difference. Save them as well. Mordecai is called the Jew not because he's Jewish. He's not. He's actually Benjamite. He's called the Jew as a storyline, as a character, to identify who he is. Esther was changed. Her name was changed because to conceal her past. All Christianity has concealed her past for thousands of years. Only the past 20 years, maybe 30 years, depending on who you ask, has Christianity to say, okay, we actually have ancestors. We actually have a history. We actually have an identity that is not just our own. We have an identity with people that are our brothers, that are one with us. We will fight for them on their behalf as they will fight for us. What's the result? Well, the same result that the whole Bible tells you is going to happen with the Jewish and Christian people. What do the Christians become? The bride of the Messiah. What do the Jewish people become? The rulers of the world. What happened in the story of Esther? She became the wife of Ahasuerus. What happened to the Jewish people? They became he the ruler of all of Ahasuerus' kingdom. All right? This is a story. It's not for Jewish people. Your key is Esther. It's a story for the Christian people. At one point in time, you will conceal yourself, which I pray all of us have identified that was our past, not our present. Eventually, you must advocate for your past, who you belong to, the people who raised you and brought you up to where you stand today. Advocate on their behalf and help them. Help them survive. Because if they die, so do you. That's our job. Yes, Richard.
Well, let me ask you a thing. With Esther, is that she was part of the execution, in one way, of the evil man.
Yes, she was. She advocated
so
his death.
Is going to be involved
in the death of Satan.
Satan.
Yes. They'll be, they will be. That's how the revelations played out. As the Satan attempts, he fails miserably. He's, of course, in prison, right, 1,000 years, released, whatever. Eventually, he's killed. Because his goal of undermining the foundation of all of Christianity, undermining the foundation of all of God's plan, was to kill the Jewish people. Has he been fairly successful at it? Well, over the years, actually, he has. You look at how many Jewish people are around, how many Christians are around. How many would have been had he not been involved? Well, almost the whole world. Millions and millions and millions of Jewish people have died, and Christians have died years ago. Well, those people have children, or would have had children, would have had grandchildren and great-grandchildren, would have continued to thrive. We look at the Muslim world and see its great dominating growth. It would have been the other way around had Satan not been there to be the adversary, to go against God's plan. Now, of course, there's a lot of the comments. Yes, Anne.
Archaeological discoveries about Cyrus or Ahasuerus.
Mm-hmm. What about them? There are a couple of them. There are of Cyrus, Ahasuerus only by name.
Uh-huh.
I think because he inherited everything from his father, Cyrus. Yeah, and everything from him went straight to his child. He was just literally a name, nothing more than a blip in history. Which to most of us means nothing. Well, then guess what? So were all the Jewish people. All of Israel was a blip in history. If you look at the history of the world, what are they dominated about? Well, there's Rome. There's the Greeks. There's the Egyptians. Where is Israel? The blip in history called Solomon. The heyday, their highest point. Insignificant, made no difference. The world doesn't care about. Ahasuerus is no different in our world history. We know he existed, but they can count. And they know he has his name listed as one of the kings of the Medes and the Persians. So we know he was around. But beyond that, it's a minuscule story as far as who he was. The story of Esther is what we gained out of it. The story of Esther is our goal and our purpose in life. To be the advocates. To continue to strive forward. To pray on our behalf and on God's and the Jewish people's behalf to God. To fight for them. That's our job. That's the story of Esther. That's why it's remembered every single year, to never forget. It's our job to continuously fight and to celebrate alongside of all of our brethren.
Is there any other book besides, I think it's, is there any other book besides Esther where God's name is, or God is not really mentioned in any other book? I know Esther.
Not in the Bible. There are other books that are outside the Bible that his name is not mentioned. There are still Jewish chronicles, early Jewish writings, about 300 or so B.C. There are a couple of them. There are a couple of stories listed. Yes.
One of the things that you said quite a while ago when we were in our prayer time, I think, was you had mentioned that the evil needs to be exposed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly what she did. She exposed the evil to the king.
Is that, otherwise, it's not that the king wouldn't have figured it out. That's not the point. It's not that the Messiah doesn't know who Satan is. That's not the matter. It's what is evil. And the fact it has to be addressed at this moment in time.
Yeah.
And you recall Moses, right? Most of us know who Moses was. All of us know who Moses was. He did good things, and things that he may have made mistakes on. What was one thing he was most noted for?
Murder.
Well, that may be true, but one other thing. Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Ten Commandments, right.
In his story, what did he actually do? He talked to God.
Yes.
He said, hey, God, your plan, which is to do X, Y, Z, is not a good one. Change it. He abdicates on behalf of the people of God. No different than our job is. That's our task, to continue to advocate on their behalf, on our behalf, because their survival is our survival. Yes, Isaac, I know. Because I'm recording him and he's having issues. I'm going to call it a quits. That's really for the primary. There are other historical things that occurred on Purim. Most notably, most recently, the lunar eclipse. I think that's fascinating. Lunar eclipse, of course, if those of you saw it, was red as blood. It was a dark red color.
Because
it's interesting to note that Purim is the defense of the Israelite people from their destroyer with blood. To have blood but a red moon might mean something. Sometimes celestial events occur on holy days. Most of the time they don't. But when they do, it's always something to pay attention to.
Remember that whole feast that the moon was red?
Yeah.
Yes.
The whole feast, it was the year we moved down here. So the whole year, that whole week, was a red moon.
I know there was one red moon eclipse when we were in Sukkot up at Ben.
Yeah, but this was just we had a red moon, but it was orange and red.
The lunar eclipse, it turned red. Because that's what happens usually with, as light passes through our atmosphere, it changes its color. But so there are other questions. I'm going to call it quits. I want you to pay attention and remember Esther. Remember the story. It's not a minor holiday. It's actually a prophecy of our future and of our present.